Okay, today's daf is Shabbos daf Mem Beis. We will discuss the following four topics in today's daf. First, we're going to discuss issues that are Isurim D'Rabbanan, but for reasons of public safety, the Amoraim permitted various Isurim D'Rabbanan. We then move on to discuss issues relating to Bishul when it comes to mixing hot and cold water on Shabbos. And then we're going to discuss the concept of Kalei Bishul, Chumrei Bishul, those things that are more easily cooked than normal things, and those things that are more difficult to cook, and that does have ramifications in terms of whether you could put them in a Kli Sheni, whether you could put them in a Kli Rishon. And then finally, at the very end of the daf, we're going to move on to issues relating to mukta, and that's going to take up the rest of the perek pretty much. And we're going to discuss today moving non-mukta items for the sake of mukta items. So we left off on daf Mem Aleph and Beis. We are at Amar Rav. So we were just discussing the case of the Mishnah, which was actually machlokas exactly what the case was, but the Mishnah spoke about taking a boiling hot kettle, boiling hot pot, off of a fire, and then putting cold water into the pot. The question is, what did it mean, putting cold water into the pot? Putting cold water into the pot once it's emptied, and the whole issue is one of being mitzareif, is one of makabepatish, hardening the metal of the pot, or no, we're talking about pouring cold water into the pot before it's emptied, while it still has some hot stuff in it, and the issue is one of Bishul. So that was the Machlokas Amoraim. So we are at Amar Rav, five lines before the end. Amar Rav lo shanu el lahavshi, Rav lo tsarif aser. The whole heter is only when it comes to when you're cooling off the water that's in the pot. But litzarif, if you're actually hardening the pot, that's going to be asur. Shmuel amar afilu litzarif nami mutter. And Shmuel thinks even litzarif is going to be mutter. Meaning, let's assume we're talking about an empty pot right now. So how much water can you put in? So if you're putting in a little bit of water just to make the water lukewarm, not to cool it off, to make it lukewarm, to make the water that you're pouring in warmer from the heat of the pot. So that's where we have our discussion about whether you put in a lot, a little, how warm is it going to get, is it going to get cooked? But when you're pouring in litzareif, that's going to be asur. If you're pouring in enough water, you're pouring in water to harden the pot, that's going to be asur. And Shmuel says, nah, you could even pour in the water that would harden the pot. So, frankly, Gemara, that doesn't make any sense. Litzarif l'chadchila mishari. Shmuel holds that there's no malacha called makab epatish. What, he holds that you're allowed to be mitzarif epat l'chadchila on Shabbos? You have a pot that's metal, needs to be hardened. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos? There's no way. Eli'iyat mar hachiyat mar. Now, the way to understand the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is as follows. That Amar Rav lo shanu ela shir lahavshir. Avol shir litzarif aser. The issue is not what you are doing. The issue is how much you are putting in. That Rav holds that when you put in the amount that can warm up the water but cannot be mitzarif the pot, and Rashi explains, kigon shalom el'ehu kulo, meaning that you haven't filled the pot entirely, and the assumption is that you can't be mitzarif the pot unless you fill it entirely with cold water. So that's what Rav says. But if you put in a sheer letzareif, you fill in the entire pot, then it's going to be aser. Ushmol amar afilu sheer letzareif mutter. And Shmuel will say, even if you put in enough cold water, but you don't intend to actually harden the pot, it's just that that's what's likely going to happen because you filled up the entire thing with cold water. Shmuel would say, even that is mutter. So says the Gemara, what does that tell you? That tells you that Shmuel holds davar sheinu miskaven is mutter, because you are being mitzarif the pot, but you're not intending on being mitzarif the pot when you fill it all the way with the cold water. So frak the Gemara lemeimra de Shmuel Rabbi Shimon svirlei. Do you mean to tell me that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon that a davar sheinu miskaven is mutter? V'ha'amar Shmuel, but didn't Shmuel teach us mechabin gachelas shel mateches brishus rabim b'shvil shelo yizoku barabim? Let's say you have a burning piece of metal in a Rosh Hasharabim, you're allowed to extinguish it on Shabbos so that people don't get hurt by it. The assumption, presumably over here, is that this is not a Pikuach Nefesh situation. If it were a Pikuach Nefesh situation, there'd be nothing to talk about. You'd be allowed to extinguish anything or do any malacha in order to save lives. The assumption is people might get hurt, but are all likelihood not going to die from whatever situation is going on. So you have this hot piece of metal that's burning in Rosh Hasharabim. So Shmuel says you're allowed to extinguish it on Shabbos to protect the rabbim. Avaloga chelas shaleitz. But you're not allowed to extinguish a coal of wood, because, and Rashi explains the difference between Shal Matechas and Shal Eitz is that by Matechas it's not Kiboy Midar Reisa. It's not a violation of a Melacha Dar Reisa. It's only Aser Midar Rabbanan. So when there's a Nezek L'Rabim, the Rabbanan will not go there on being Mechabe a piece of metal. But Shal Eitz, it's in the Iser Dar Reisa. You'd be Chayiv Skila, and therefore you're not allowed to extinguish Shal Eitz even B'makom Hezeka Dar Rabim. That's Shmuel Shita. So says Gmar, Visal Kadaituch Savar like Rabbi Shimon, Afil Shalait Nami. If Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Shimon, then you should even be allowed to extinguish Shalait. Aye, it's Kibbutz Daraisa. Yeah, but it's a Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. Normally, when you're Mechabe, you're being Mechabe because you want the coals. You want the wick or the coals that you're being Mechabe the flame from. So it was helpful. It's a Melach Tzricha Legufa. Over here, it's a Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. You're just trying to get rid of the fire that may cause damage. And we know that by Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa, there's Machlokas Rabbi Rabbi Shimon, whether you're Chayiv or Pater, Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. So you see that if he really held like Rabbi Shimon, that your pater melach shein tzricha legufa, then it should only be a drabbanan. You should be allowed to do this for the safety of the public. So you see that Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Yehuda on the issue of melach shein tzricha legufa. Now, to be clear, there are two separate machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon argue about a davar shein miskaven, and they argue about melach shein tzricha legufa. Those are not the same. When it comes to davar shein miskaven means that you do an action that may or may not result in a melach, and you certainly don't intend for the malacha to happen. So Rabbi Shimon holds mutter, Rabbi Yehuda holds it's aser. The malacha shein tzricha legufa is, you do an action that is the same action as a malacha. You know exactly what's going to happen. It's definitely going to be a malacha. But you're doing it for a different purpose than it was done in the Mishkan. And no one holds that mutter. Rabbi Shimon holds that you're pater in that case, that you're not going to be chayiv from malacha shein tzricha legufa. You're not going to be chayiv in onesh, but it's definitely not mutter. And Rabbi Yehuda holds you're even chayiv on malacha shein tzricha legufa. So these are two separate machloksim that both fall in the general category of the parameters of malachas machsheves. How much willful intent is there necessary in order to be in order to be in trouble in Hilchos Shabbos? And Rabbi Yehuda clearly takes a little bit of a stricter stance, and Rabbi Shimon takes a more lenient stance. The Gemara assumes that you have to pick a shita and go with it, that you have to either hold like Rabbi Yehuda on both issues or hold like Rabbi Shimon on both issues. That's why the Gemara is asking Kasha. How can you say that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon about Davar Shein Miskaven? We see he holds like Rabbi Yehuda about Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. So answers the Gemara, the Davar Shein Miskaven, Savar like Rabbi Shimon, Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa, Savar like Rabbi Yehuda. Our assumption was faulty, that when it comes to, you don't have to paskin like the same shita in both machlokasim. When it comes to Davar Shein Miskaven, you can hold like Rabbi Shimon, that a Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter. When it comes to Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa, you can hold like Rabbi Yehuda, they can be chayv from Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. So it's not an issue at all for Shmuel to split his psak in that way. Amar Ravina, parenthetically the Gemara mentions, Hilkach, whenever you say Hilkach, it's going on something. What's the Hilkach? So Rashi points out, once we say that lo gazru shvus to kiboy matechas b'makom nizka derabim, that when there's going to be a threat to public safety, the chacham were never goes there to not to extinguish a piece of metal. Once we say that, so we'll give another example of a malacha derabanan that may be violated for the sake of public safety. Kotz Bereshos HaRabim, Malicho, Pachos, Midal Ramos, Ubekarmelis, Afilu Tuva. If you have a thorn that could hurt somebody in Rishos HaRabim, so you're allowed to move it in the Rishos HaRabim less than Dal Ramos at a time, because even though Midrabanon, you're not even allowed to transport things in Rishos HaRabim less than Dal Ramos at a time, it's only Nisid Rabbanon, and for the sake of public safety, we allow it. If it's in a Karmelis, we're carrying entirely in a Karmelis, it's only Nisid Rabbanon, then you can even carry it a long distance. But there's just another example of an Isser Drabbanan that we permit for the sake of public safety. But really, the main point of our Gemara was that we thought we had a kasha on Shmuel. How could Shmuel hold like Rabbi Shimon that Davar Shein Miskaven is mutter? I Shmuel hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Melach Shein Tzricha Legufa. And the Gemara's answer was, just because you hold like Rabbi Shimon by one, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to hold like Rabbi Yehuda by the other. Frek Tosfos, Vim Tomar, Umaisal Kadaitach the Maksha. What was the Havamin in the first place? V'chim Yishum to suffer Shmuel Rabbi Shimon bein Miskaven Yisbor Kamos of Melach Shein Shein Shrichel Gufa. We don't have such a thing in Shas. We don't hold up the Amoraim to say that they have to pick one Shita, one rabbi, that they have to always ask all the Shilas to that rabbi and paskin like everything that rabbi ever said. That every Amora has to paskin like a given Tana and hold like everything he says. So there must be some connection between Melach Shein Shrichel Gufa and Davar Shein Meskavin. That the Gemara makes an assumption that if you hold like Rabbi Shimon on one, you hold like Rabbi Shimon on the other. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda on one, you hold like Rabbi Yehuda on the other. But what's that connection? So says Tosfos Yishlomer Desalka Daitach Demakshe Devaday Haba Hatalia. Certainly the Gemara assumed that they're related to each other. Mishum Desaver Rabbi Yehuda the Melach Shein Srich Lagufa Chayavala Hecha De Miskaven B'Shein Miskaven Nami Yichmiru Chachamim. If Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you do Melach Shein Srich Lagufa with Kavana, but you do Melach Shein Srich Lagufa, you're going to be Chayav Mida Oraisa. So when you take away the Kavana, he's not going to go all the way down and say, now it's totally mutter. He'll knock it down one level and say, okay, potter. When you did, you take away the Kavana, the lack of Kavana, will move you from Chayiv D'Oraisa to Potter Avalasir. Hechel Miskav B'Shein Miskav Nami Yichmir Chachamim. Aval Rabbi Shimon, the Potter Alam and Atarav B'Miskavin. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that you're not Chayiv Midoraisa, even when you have Kavana, when you do Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, you're Potter Midoraisa. So Lo Chash Lasser Midraban K'Shein Miskavin. When you take away the Kavana and you make it a Davar Sheino Miskavin, so we'll knock it down a level and we'll say the Rabbanu would never be machmir in that case. That would be mutter. Give the miskavin atzma like a lisir the Rabbanu, because even if you do have kavana and mlach shein tzrich leguf, it's only an isir the Rabbanan. But at the end of the day, the Gemara concludes that they're not related at all, that Melach Shein Srich L'Gufa and Davar Shein Miskavin are two separate machlokasim. This idea of Tosfos, that the Havamina, to have them related, the Nemukei Agriv in the back of the Gemara uses this idea to answer a kasha that probably we wouldn't have thought of, because you have to remember the entire Masechta to think of it. But he asked the following kasha: why is it that Dafka over here we ask on Shmuel, how come you hold like Rabbi Shimon about Davar Shein Miskavin, and you hold like Rabbi Yehuda about Melach Shein Srich L'Gufa? There's an earlier opportunity in this Masechta where we could have asked this kasha on Shmuel. On Dafchav Bezo Meral, Shmuel said, Halacha Rabbi Shimon Begreira. So we know that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon. We already had that Shmuel holds Halacha Rabbi Shimon Begreira. That's by Davar Shein Miskavin. We know he holds like Rabbi Shimon by Davar Shein Miskavin. That's when the Gemara should have jumped up and down and said, what? How could he say Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon by Davar Shein Miskavim? We know he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't we ask the kasha over there? Why did we wait till here? So he says, based on what Tosfos is saying, we could be miyashe very easily. What's the whole reason to assume that the two are related to each other? The whole reason to make that assumption is that when you're dealing with the Melach Shein Srich L'Gufa, you're dealing with something that with Kavana would be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. If you were to drag a bench with Kavana, that would not be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, because that's Choresh with a Shinui, meaning it's not the normal way to do Charisha, by dragging a bench. So yes, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon Begreira, but the whole reason to assume that Shmuel would have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda by Greira, by Davar Shein Miskavin, is because with Kavana, such a Maisa would be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa, the way Tosfos says. So you take away the Kavana, it should still be Asur Midrabanan. But by Greira of a bench, if you were doing a Charisha, big Kavana, with dragging a bench, it wouldn't be Chiyuv D'Oraisa, because it's only Aliday Shinui. So we wait for a case where it would be a Chiyuv D'Oraisa. So what's the case over here? Where you're being Mitzari for Kli, you're pouring all this cold water into a boiling hot Kli to make it hard. So he said, okay, if you're in a miskavin, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. So Gemara says, wait, had you had Kavana in this case, you'd be chayiv. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda by Melach Shein Srich L'Gufa, that you're chayiv. Had you had Kavana, you'd be chayiv over here. So how come when you take away the Kavana, it's going to be mutter? So Dafka over here, it's a valid question. That's how the Nemukei Agriv uses Tosfos to answer that kasha. Now, I read over the Gemara the way Rashi understands it. There is a Ran. The Ran points out, Umehad Shaminan, the Ran and Daf Yutasam Beis Bedapei Arif over here, writes, Mehad Shaminan, the Sharinan Shvust Rabban Makum Hezek, the Rabbi Matsui. He says, the clear Pashup Shar in our Gemara, the way Rashi understands, the way the Ran understands, is that whenever there's a public a menace, there's a public threat, there's a threat to public safety, you're allowed to do an Isra Drabanan. However, he then quotes, Rav Bal Halachuzal, Hiter od afilu isur d'oraisa, that the Bahaga allows even in isur d'oraisa when it's a threat to public safety. And the Ran says v'divrei teimahim sheheich yatir Shmuel melacha d'oraisa shalom makom sakanas nefashos. How is that possible? It's not pikuach nefesh. How could we ever allow melacha d'oraisa when it's not pikuach nefesh? Ela shenira sharav zal sover denizka derabim kesakanas nefashos chashavlan. A gevaldik achidish. He says that maybe the Bahag holds anything that's a threat to the public has a din of sakanas nefashos. A wild chiddush, meaning he's saying no one's going to die from it. We know no one's going to die from it, but a lot of people can get hurt from it. The quantity of people that can get hurt from it may raise it to the level of sakanas nefashos, and as sakanas nefashos, you're even allowed to violate an iser da'oraisa. That's the chiddush of the Bahag, the way the Ran understands the Bahag. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayta now. Two dots. Tanur Avol Nosein. So we said that the Mishnah had said that you're not allowed to take the hot pot and pour and put cold water into it, b'shvil sheichamu, but you're allowed to nosin l'tochol tochos k'dei lafshiran. You're allowed to put it in just to warm it up a little bit. So says the Gemara Tanur Rabban, we have a braisa, nosin adam chamin l'toch atzonein, v'lo atzonein l'toch chamin divri b'shamai. B'shamai holds you're allowed to pour hot water into cold water, but you're not allowed to pour cold water into hot water on Shabbos. Apparently, Beis Shammai holds that tasa agavar, that when you're pouring one item into another, the bottom one overpowers the top one. So if you're pouring hot water into cold water, the cold water will overpower the hot water, and it's not going to be cooking the cold water. So that's why chamin l'toch tzonin is mutter. You're not allowed to pour cold into hot water, because the hot water is on the bottom. The bottom one is going to overpower the cold, and it's going to cook it. Beis Hillel says, bein chamin l'toch tzonin, ubein tzonin l'toch chamin, mutter. That either way it's mutter. You can put chamin into tzonin, tzonin l'toch chamin. If you look at Tosos, ubeis Hillel the pli in Dibra Maskel Nosin, about five lines in, ubeis the reason Basil allows pouring cold into hot, hainu dafka b'klisheni. That's only going to be in a klisheni, not in a kli rishon. We should see the next line in Gemara. Ba'medavar mamurim b'kos. Aval ba'mbati chamin l'toch atzonin v'lo tzonin l'toch achamin. Even Basil only allows pouring the water into a cup, into a hot klisheni, pouring the cold water into hot klisheni, but to pour it into an ambati, which we assume is a very, very hot kli, so cham l'toch tzonin, you let it pour hot into cold, you can't pour cold into hot. Rabbi Shimon Menasya Oser, and Rabbi Shimon Menasya says that it's Oser either way. So I'm Rabbi Nachman Alach, Rabbi Shimon Menasya. So Rabbi Nachman says, yeah, we pass on Rabbi Shimon Menasya that we're Machmir either way. So Sav Rav Yosef Lemeimer, Safal Hareu Kambati. Rabbi Yosef thought to say that a wash basin, something that you would use to put water in, to wash your hands, to wash your face, has the same din as an Ambati, and therefore it's going to be Oser, that even if it's in a klisheni, since it's made for Ruchitza, and we wanted to, we made a gezerah that it's going to be aser. So Amle Abai Tanur Reb Chia Safalenu Kambati. The Reb Chia taught that a wash basin does not have a din of an ambati, and it's going to be mutter. Ulamai Desal Kadaiti Meikar the Safal Areu Kambati. Varmem Nachman Alach Reb Shimon Menasya. But wait a second. If we were to put two and two together, we would assume that a wash basin is the same din as an ambati, as a bathtub. And we assume that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Menasya, who's machmir by a bathtub. So, b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin leka. Then it would turn out that there's no way to wash your hands and face on Shabbos with warm water. Meaning we had all sugi about washing on Shabbos, and we said one thing that's definitely mutter is if you have water heated before Shabbos, you're allowed to use that water to wash your hands and face. Right? You're not allowed to bathe in that water, but you're allowed to use that water to wash your hands and face. But according to this, you should not be allowed to use that water to wash your hands and face either, if you hold the safal as the din of Mambati. As Rashi says, El b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin leka b'tmiyah. Tell Rabbi Shimon afilu chamin l'toch tzonin asr. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're not even allowed to pour hot water into cold. Lo mishkachas chamin shehuchmu v'afilu me'erev Shabbos shalei yutzrichin l'hafig r'sichasan. But if you want to wash your hands and face, you always need to do some mixture of pouring cold and hot water together, because otherwise the water is going to be too boiling hot, you're not going to be able to deal with it. So then it would turn out that you can't even wash panaviyadav raglav in hot water. So says Gemara, no, we misunderstood Rabbi Shimon. Misav Rabbi Shimon a seifa kai, a resha kai. Rabbi Shimon wasn't going on the seifa where the Tanakama only las chamin l'tochtzonein, and he's coming and saying that even chamin l'tochtzonein is aser. No, he's going on the resha where we talk about for drinking that tzonein l'tochamin, the Beis Hillel holds his mutter for drinking. You're allowed to pour cold into hot. Beis Hillel matirin bein chamin l'tochtzonein bein tzonein l'tochamin. Rabbi Shimon Menasya oser tzonein l'tochamin. Rabbi Shimon Menasya says, no, you're not allowed to pour cold into hot, but hot into cold, you are allowed to pour. So, wait a second. If Rabbi Shimon Menasya holds, you're allowed to pour hot into cold, you're just not allowed to pour cold into hot, isn't that exactly Shitas Beishamai? So Rabbi Shimon Menasya paskin like Beishamai? So Hachi Kamar. No, Rabbi Shimon Menasya is not paskining like Beishamai. What Rabbi Shimon Menasya is saying is as follows, that Lo Nechluku Beisham Beisil B'davar Zeh. He doesn't think that this is a machlokas Beisham Beisilel. He thinks Beisilel is moda, that you're allowed to pour... He thinks the Beisil and Beishamai are both moda, that you're allowed to pour cold into... You're allowed to pour hot into cold, but you're not allowed to pour cold into hot. So he thinks that it's not just Shitas Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel would agree to that as well. Amar Rav Huna Brei Rav Yehoshua, Chazina Le Rava the Lo Kapra Mana. He says we've seen Rava who is not Makpid. He tells a Maisa Rav about Rava that Rava permitted pouring cold water into a hot klisheni. And it seems we're going to see that we have a brisa that shows that that's correct. That we saw Rava lo kapra mana midetani Rabbi Chiya. We have a brisa of Rabbi Chiya that supports this idea that you're allowed to pour cold water into a hot klisheni. Now what does it say? No sinadam kiton shalmayim l'toch safal shalmayim bein cham l'toch tzonein ubein tzonein l'toch chamin. You're allowed to pour water into water, whether it's hot into cold or cold into hot. Now maybe over there it's different because there's another kli in between. It's a kli sheni. So it says Mar Amle Ma'ara Itgar Ma'ara Adam Kiton Shalmayim Toch Safa Shalmayim Bein Cham Toch Sain Bein Sain Toch Chamin. No, the way it's phrased is Ma'ara that you're pouring it directly. So we see that there is no hefse kli. You're pouring it directly from one into the other. So that's a brisa that supports Rava that you are in fact permitted to pour cold water into a hot kli sheni, that's going to be mutter. Period. That's the end of that sugi. Now new Mishnah. Ha'ilfas fag there. This the new Mishnah is going to introduce us to the concepts of kli rishon, kli sheni. It's got meaning in a more direct way. We're going to be discussing these halachas of what has the ability to cook. Meaning, typically speaking, if you have the way it works, the different levels of a kli that has the ability to cook are as follows. Obviously, anything that's on the fire can cook. The fire itself is cooking. So you have a kli rishon al gabe ha'esh. If you have a pot of soup that's still on the fire, anything you put into that pot of soup can get cooked midaraisa because it's on the fire. The fire is cooking. It doesn't make a difference whether it's the most toughest piece of meat to cook or not. It can get cooked. Our discussion is going to be primarily, what if you take the soup off the fire, but still in the pot that the soup was cooked in? Can you then put a piece of raw meat into that soup? Do we assume the soup has the ability to still cook the meat? So kli rishon, typically speaking, is able to be mevashel. Anything you put into a kli rishon can be mevashel. What if you then pour from that pot of soup, let's make it simple, not use a ladle, pour straight from that pot of soup into a bowl? So now the soup in that bowl still is piping hot, but it's a kli sheni. Typically speaking, kli sheni eino mevashel, does not have the ability to affect cooking, even though it's piping hot. Doesn't have the ability to be mevashel. Typically speaking, we're going to discuss the concept, the notion, that there may be certain things that are chumrei habishel, that are so difficult to cook, the only way to cook them is over an actual fire, and that even in a kli rishon, once the kli rishon has been removed from the fire, cannot be cooked, meaning not that it's also, cannot physically be cooked, and therefore would be mutter to put even in a kli rishon, and there are certain things that are kalei habishel. Kalei habishel are things that are so easily cooked that when you put them into a kli sheni, they'll get cooked. And therefore, you're not going to be permitted to even put them into a kli sheni. And our Gemara is going to discuss, what about salt? What's the status of salt? Can you put salt in your soup? Can you put salt on your chalent? Is salt chumre bishul? Is it kalei bishul? Is it regular laws of bishul? How do we view it? So let's see the Mishnah. Ha'ilfas fakadera she'avirin murutachin lo yitin l'tochin tavlin. If you took a pot, a kli rishon, boiling hot off of the fire, you're not allowed to put spices in the pot because it's a kli rishon, and we assume that kol zman, that it's still hot, it has the ability to cook. Aval nosin hu l'tocha ka'aro l'tocha tamchoy. But you're allowed to put spices into a ka'aro or a tamchoy because those are a kli sheni. So we assume that kli sheni zeinu mevashel, spices are classic foods that can be cooked, that do get cooked in a kli rishon, and therefore not permissible to put in a kli rishon, do not get cooked in a kli sheni, and therefore are permissible to put into a kli sheni. Tulsa over here discusses, wait a second, we said nosin l'tocha kara, maybe you should be medayik for that iroy has a din of a klisheni. It says lo yitin l'tocha tavlin. What can't you do? You can't put the spices into the kli rishon. Maybe you should be medayik, but you could pour straight from the kli rishon onto the spices. That iroy has a din of klisheni, iroy will not have the ability to cook, because that's something we didn't discuss. What if you pour directly from the kli rishon onto a tea bag, let's say, onto spices that are sitting in a bowl, right? Onto the croutons that are in the bowl already from before you pour the soup. Does that have a din of a kli rishon, have the ability to be mevashel? Tosfos says you can't be medayik anything from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah clearly skips the case of iroy, meaning it's enticing to be medayik from the fact that it says you're not allowed to put tavlin into a kli rishon, that maybe you're allowed to pour from a kli rishon onto tavlin. He says, yeah, but then what are you going to be medayik from the next line of the Mishnah? Avol nosein ulitocha ka'ara, that you're allowed to put tavlin into a kli sheni. Makes it sound like but pouring from a kli rishon onto tavlin is aser. So he says you can't be medayik anything about iroy. We already had a tosos that quoted two deos about iroy, whether iroy has a din of kli rishon or iroy has a din of kli sheni. Tosos over here introduces a third day about iroy, which is the day that we paskin like. Tosos about halfway down, v'nira di iroy lo havi kli rishon v'lo kli sheni. Ela mevashel kedei klipa. Iroy is neither a kli rishon nor a kli sheni. Rather, it has the ability to cook, but only kedei klipa, only the outermost surface of that which it hits on its way down. That's the status of iroy. Weiter in the Mishnah now, Rabbi Yehuda omer lekolu nosin chutz midavar sheish mechomet tzir. Rabbi Yehuda says you could put the Gemara is going to discuss what he's talking about, whether he's talking about the kli rishon or the kli sheni, but he says you're allowed to put the tavlin into anything, whether it means any kli rishon or any kli sheni, unless it has vinegar or it has tzir, it has fish brine, something that's going to be more likely to be cooked. It's something that's sharper. So ibayilu, correct the Gemara. What's Rabbi Yehuda talking about? Rabbi Yehuda reisha kai ulukula odum haseifa kai luchumra. Is Rabbi Yehuda going on the reisha where the reisha said you're not allowed to put tavlin into a kli rishon, and Rabbi Yehuda saying yes you can put tavlin into a kli rishon. You just unless as long as that kli rishon doesn't have chometz. So he's coming to say a kula, or he's coming to say a chumra. That the seifa says you're not allowed to put the seifa says you are allowed to put tavlin into a kli sheni, and Rabbi Yehuda says not every kli sheni. If it has chometz or tzir, you can't put tavlin even into a kli sheni. So what is Rabbi Yehuda trying to tell me? Tashma says Gemara, let's bring a raya. Detani, we have a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lekol ilfasin who no sein lekol hakaderos rodchos who no sein. What's an ilfas? What's a kadera? That's a kli rishon. So Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to put tavlin into any kli rishon as long as it doesn't have chometz v'tzir. Essentially, what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us is that tavlin is chumrei habishul. Tavlin doesn't get cooked so easily, and therefore even in a kli rishon it will not get cooked without a little extra help. So you're allowed to put tavlin, spices, into a kli rishon. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Sav Rav Yosef Lameimra, Rav Yosef thought to say, melach hareu ketavlin. Salt should have the same din as tavlin. Debekli rishon bishla, bekli sheni lo bishla. What I mean to say is that salt should get cooked in a kli rishon and not in a kli sheni. Amalei Abayi, Tani Rabbi Chiya, melech eino ketavlin, debekli sheni nami bishla. Then Abayi said, no, Rabbi Chiya taught that salt is a kalei bishla. That salt gets more, is cooked even in a kli sheni. And therefore, you're not even allowed to put salt in a kli sheni. Upliga the Rav Nachman. That's against Rav Nachman. Dam Rav Nachman sricha milcha bishul kabisru detura. Because Rav Nachman holds salt is chumrei abishul. That salt is like ox meat. It's so tough. There's no way it gets cooked. Even in a kli rishon, it wouldn't get cooked. So what do we have over here? Three shitos about salt. Is salt something that's so that the first shita that it's regular? It's like all regular foods, gets cooked in a kli rishon, doesn't get cooked in a kli sheni, therefore you're not allowed to put in a kli rishon, you are allowed to put in a kli sheni. So if you want to salt your soup on Shabbos, you can't pour it directly into the pot, you gotta wait till it's in the bowl, right? That would be the first shita. Second shita, salt is kalei abishul, and therefore can easily get cooked, and therefore you're not even allowed to put it into your bowl of soup. And third shita would be that salt is chumrei abishul, that you're even allowed to pour it directly into the pot, because salt is like bisra datura, but we can't say the halacha until we see the ikada amri. The ikada amri sav Rav Yosef lemeimar melech hareyu ketavlin. The ikada amri has it. Rav Yosef wanted to say melech has the same din as tavlin. The bekli rishon bishla bekli sheni lo bishla. In that it can be cooked in a kli rishon, meaning it gets cooked in a kli rishon. Therefore, you're not allowed to put it in a kli rishon. Doesn't get cooked in a kli sheni. Therefore, you're allowed to put it in a kli sheni. Amalei Abaye tani Rav Chiya melech ein ketavlin. Rav Chiya Abaye says no. Rav Chiya said melech is not like tavlin, the bekli rishon nami lo bishla, that it doesn't even get cooked in a kli rishon. Meaning over here it's very different. Previous in the first lashon, Abaye says that Tani Rav Chiya, the melech is not like tavlin in that it's kalei abishul, it even gets cooked in a kli sheni. Now Abaye is saying no, Rav Chiya holds melech is not like tavlin, it's chumrei abishul, it doesn't even get cooked in a kli rishon, and therefore that's in agreement with Rav Nachman. V'hainu dam Rav Nachman tzricha milcha bishul kabisra detura. So according to the second lashon, you have two out of the three shitos that hold melech is chumrei abishul and wouldn't even get cooked in a kli rishon, and therefore you'd be allowed to put it in a kli rishon. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is which lashon do we paskin like, the lishon rishona or the ikada amri? So Tosus says let's try to figure out what the rules of psak are over here. If you look at Tosus v'hainu d'Rav Nachman, so he says nira the afle pirsha kuntra shapirsh to bekol makom dika lishni depligi b'shal Torah halacha achar machmir. So the first rule I know of is Rashi gives a rule that whenever you have two lishonas that argue about a din d'oraisa, you always go with the more machmir shita. We treat it like a suffik daraisa l'chumra. Over here, the more machmir lashon is the first lashon. Second lashon says melech is chumra abishul, can never get cooked. Don't worry, you can put it in a kli rishon as long as it's not on the fire anymore. But the second lashon, the first lashon is more machmir and holds that melech can get cooked, and therefore you're not allowed to put it in a kli rishon. So he says Rashi's rule would tell us to pass him like the first lashon. B'shal sofer melech achar achron, but if we were a din d'rabbanan, we'd be able to go with the second lashon. L'Rabbeinu Tam b'shal sofer melech achar meikel. L'Rabbeinu Tam holds the rule is on a din d'rabbanan, you always go with the more meikel lashon. V'chein l'riva shepirusha b'kol malkum mikid ha'amri tafel l'gabi lashon rishon shu ikr. And even according to the riva, who holds it doesn't matter whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, whenever you have two lashonos, the lashon rishon is the ikr, the ikid ha'amri is a tafel, the ikid ha'amri is an afterthought. But the real way to go is the first lashon. So bein l'rashi, bein l'riva, whichever rule you want to go with. Rashi's rule that by a daraisa you go with the more machmir lashon, which in this case is the first lashon. The riva's rule, whenever you have two lashonos, you always go with the first one, because the first one is always ikr. They would both suggest to go with the more machmir first lashon over here. Says Tosos, I'm aware of that, but Hacha halacha kalishna basra. But over here, I'm telling you that halacha follows the second lashon, the more meikel lashon. The lishna kama palig brisa d'Rav Chiya d'Rav Nachman, and it's because of the following factor. According to the lishna kama, the brisa of Rav Chiya goes against Rav Nachman. We pit Rav Nachman against the brisa, and not just any brisa. Brisa Rav Chiya. Remember, brises of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia are the more reliable brises. We don't want to have to do that. Lishna basra hainu d'Rav Nachman. But according to the lishna basra, Rav Nachman is alive with the Brisa. So that's a significant advantage that the Lishna Basra has over the Lishna Kama, even though it breaks all the rules. And therefore, it says Tosos, it has to be we pass like the Lishna Basra. Umitoch kach pasak Rabbeinu Shmuel shemutr loseis melech betavshil b'shabes afilu b'kli rishon she'aviru min ha'or. If you want to put salt in your chalon, salt in your soup, as long as it's no longer on the fire, you can pour it directly into the pot. Va'machmir kalishna kama shalolitein melech bekara calls mancha yatzal edesbo tava lov bracha. But then he adds, but if you want to be machmir like the first lashon, then not to put it in a kli rishon, not to put salt in a kli rishon, so long as it's still hot, tava lov bracha. It's a very good thing to do. So how do we paskin la'alachin Shulchan Aruch. So we have this the Shulchan Aruch and some Shin Yud Ches Sif Yud Paskins. Asur litein tavlin b'ka'ara v'laros aleim miklib nishon. You're not allowed to put tavlin into a ka'ara and pour on it from a kli rishon, meaning even iroi kli rishon onto tavlin is asur. Aval b'kli sheni, the Mishnah Berurah says, b'kli sheni mutul aseis tavlin afilu yatzel ledes bo, dein mispashel bo, that by a kli sheni, I'm sorry, I'm reading the, I'm discussing a different issue right now. Well, let's discuss this issue also. What about, well, let's go to the first one first. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we have these two lishonos. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, shin yud ches sif tes, the previous sif in Shulchan Aruch, like the Lishna Basra, that Melech you're allowed to put even in a Kli Rishon. Says the Ramah, Hamachmir Lishna Kama, Shalolitin Melech Bekara, calls Mashi Yatzaladus, well, Tovel of Bracha. What does Ramah say? What Tulsa says? You want to be Machmir, first Lashon, Tovel of Bracha. You should try to be Machmir, not to put Melech into a Kli Rishon. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Vahaini Mili Bemelech Shechofrin. A melch shows me mayim shemevashin v'lsam ein bo mishum bishul ukuli alma dein bishul achra bishul. Says the Mishnah Berurah, well, it really depends how you make salt. The whole discussion in the Gemara is assuming that salt is not pre-cooked, that they mine the salt. But if you make salt by taking salt water and dehydrating the salt water, cooking the water till the water disappears and the salt is what's left, so then it's already been cooked. And we have a rule, in bishul achra bishul. Such salt you're definitely allowed to put into a kli rishon, and that would be no problem. But he says, v'tov lizor mikli rishon lechadchila, but it's always best to stay away from a kli rishon. Rav Zilberstein says that in Eretz Yisrael, at least, the way they make most salt that they sell in the stores is that it never gets cooked. And therefore, a machmir shalolit nu b'klisheni tavol of bracha. It's tavol of bracha not even to put it in a klisheni, because maybe it has a din of kalei abishal, not to even put it in a klisheni. So says Rav Zilberstein, what about a chalent? You have chalent with potatoes, with meat. The halacha is that the Taz quotes from the Marshal that a dover gush, if you have something that's a solid piece of food, what's the svar of klisheni? Why is it that once something's in a klisheni, now all of a sudden you're allowed to put uncooked foods on it? Because we assume that once it's in a klisheni, the walls of the kli cool down the food, take away the intensity of the heat. That's true when it comes to soup, because soup takes the shape of its container, and then the walls could totally cool down the food. Let's say you take a hot, big hot piece of meat, you put it on a plate. Most of the meat is still not touching the plate, just the bottom surface is touching the plate. It's not cooling down the food nearly as quickly. So says the Taz, that a dover gush always has a din of a kli rishon. So long as it's still hot, even if you move from one kli to another kli to another kli, still has a din of a kli rishon. So what if you have chalent with potatoes, with meat, dover gush, and it's on your plate, but it doesn't matter that it's on your plate, it still has a din of a kli rishon. Can you put salt on your chalent? According to the Ramah, you're supposed to be machmir with salt, not to put it in a kli rishon. So can you put salt on the chalent? That's the shayla. So the Rav Moshe writes, in Igros Moshe, or Chaim Chelik Dal, Simenai and Dal Ros Hei, that's his big tshuva on Bishul B'Shabbos. Chelik Dal, Simenai and Dal, is his tshuva to Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider did a great tova for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Eider is a Chorin Levracha. Did a great tova for Klal Yisrael, not only in writing a beautiful sefer, many beautiful svarim, but in getting Rav Moshe to write these tshuvas. Because when he wrote his svarim, he wanted Rav Moshe to clarify all these issues. So he sent Rav Moshe these long lists of questions about Bishul B'Shabbos. Almost everything we know about Rav Moshe Shittas and Bishul B'Shabbos were from the tshuvas to Rabbi Eider. So Rav Moshe writes, Melech pshito shemutu liten al basar cham b'klisheni. You're definitely allowed to put salt on hot meat in a klisheni. Why? Because he says the chumrah of the marshal that the Taz quotes is a chumrah. We try to be machmir lechadchila that meat still has a din of a kli rishon even when it's transferred into another. But it's not really meikra din. Meikra din. It still would have a din. It really would have a din of a kli sheni. And what? So for a machmir tovel of bracha about salt, which is only a machmir tovel of bracha, not to put in a kli rishon, we have to be machmir in the definition of a kli rishon. Also, he thought the combination of the two factors, the fact that really meikra din, you're even allowed to put salt in a kli rishon, because we paskin like the Lishna Basra. So really, you're even allowed to put in a kli rishon. And it's just a machmir tavol of bracha, that you don't have to do machmir tavol of bracha with a chumra al gabe chumra, to be machmir also, that when you transfer it to another plate, that it would still have a din of a kli rishon. Rav Zilberstein doesn't like it, but that's Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe discusses this in the context of ketchup. also that what about that? Can you put ketchup on your meat or on your chicken? Chicken is davar gush. The meat is davar gush. It's hot and it's in your klisheni. But maybe if you say like the Taz, it doesn't have a din of a klisheni. So aren't you cooking the ketchup with the cold ketchup on the meat? So Moshe held that it's mutter because the ketchup is pre-cooked. It's cooked before once when they're making the ketchup, and therefore in bishul achar bishul, he thought that combined with the fact that that a klisheni is really a klisheni, it's just a chumrah to treat it like a kli rishon by a davar gush. So he thought that you're allowed to do it. That is that's what Moshe shita with the salt and with the ketchup. The other discussion is what about putting lemon into tea? So you have hot tea. Can you put a little bit of lemon into the tea? Does the lemon get cooked when you put it into the tea? So that's what I was mentioning before. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in the next sif yud. You can't put tavlin, spice, into a plate and then pour straight from a kli rishon onto it. And the Mishnah Berurah says, but b'klisheni it's mutter to put tavlin, even into a klisheni tziatza ledesbo, because tavlin won't get cooked in a klisheni. That's what we're passing about tavlin. Meaning, generally speaking, in the halacha, even though the Gemara is clear, the klisheni doesn't have the ability to be mevashel, we do recognize the fact that there are certain things that are kali abishal, that are easily cooked. But we don't know exactly what's in that category of kali abishal, what's not in that category. So our minhag is to be machmir, that almost everything is kali abishal, except for what the Gemara says explicitly is not kali abishal. So tavlin, the Gemara is explicit, you're allowed to cook in a klisheni. So tavlin, we know, is not kali abishal. But other things, we're always machmir not to even put in a klisheni. We always, like Rav Moshe, we do klishlishi, iri klisheni, with tea bags, let's say. There are those that hold tea bags have a din of tavlin, and therefore it's even mutter in a klisheni. But okay, let's assume that it's not that most things are you're not allowed to do in a klisheni. So what about lemon? So the Chaznish holds that you're allowed to put cut pieces of lemon into tea in a klisheni because lemon is a tavlin. What makes it a tavlin? All it's used for is for flavoring. We never use lemon. People don't eat lemons straight for the most part. So it's used for flavoring. That gives it the status of a tavlin. Not all achronim agree with this, that lemon has a din of a tavlin. If that were the case, if it does not have a din of a tavlin, then we would need to be machmir at least for klishlishi or iri klisheni, another level down, something like that. Okay, let's see the Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah, "Einos and kli tachas haner lekabel bo'os ha-shemen." You're not allowed to put a kli underneath a ner to catch the oil that's dripping from the ner. The imnasnum yibaod yom mutter. But if you put it there before Shabbos, then it's mutter. Ve'einayosim menel fisheinu minamuchen. You're not allowed to benefit from it because it's mukta. It's not minamuchen. This Mishnah is the first Mishnah that discusses mukta. We're going to have a lot of mukta from here on in. So what's the iser? What kind of iser mukta is it to put a kli underneath the ner? Says Rashi, lekabel bo shemen ametavtef mishum deshemen muktzahu. The oil is mukta because the oil was designated for the lighting of this candle. The kasavar ein kli nital b'shabbos el tzorach dover anital. The Mishnah is assuming that even a kli shemlachta laheter, even a normal bowl that you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos, that's not mukta at all, you're not allowed to move when your entire purpose in moving it is for the sake of a dover mukta. So even something that's not mukta at all, a kli, cannot be nital. Unless you're moving it for the sake of something else, that's not mukta. You're not allowed to move it for the sake of something mukta. Over here, you're moving it to catch the oil, that's for the sake of mukta. Inami, another possible explanation of what the problem is over here, kasavar asu levatel kli meichano, loshev kli b'makom shlo yuchalo litlo, davi kakovei lo makom, umechabro betit v'dami l'melacha. He says, what's going to be with this kli that you're moving to catch the oil? You're now not going to be allowed to move that kli for the rest of Shabbos, because it has mukta in it. So you're not going to be allowed to move that kli. It says if you are building that kli into place, you're cementing it into the ground on that location because you're not allowed to move it halachically. So it's halachically cemented into the ground, and that's like a malacha. That resembles a malacha. It's like bona that you're building it into the ground because you halachically can't move it. So that maybe that's the reason that you're not allowed to put the kli there in order to catch. But the Mishnah had said if you put it there, miba odiom mutter. So Tosus points out that lashon is very difficult. What it really means to say is avol miba odiom nosin, that you're allowed to put a kli there to catch the oil, miba odiom. What's im nasnu miba odiom? If you put it there, miba odiom, then it's mutter. Then what's mutter? putting it there mibald yom is mutter. So that's a little bit of a strange formulation. I saw one of the achronim in the back tries to resolve why it's formulated in that way. Reb Lezer Moshe Hurwitz says that it could be because delavi misin leishapir ve'in neosin mimenu dafilu b'shabes shari lehanos min ha'metaftev me'ar v'shabes kodem shekibel shabes. Says because the next, it's really because of the next line of ein neosin mimenu, that ve'in neosin mimenu l'fishenu min ha'muchan wouldn't be true of the oil that's in the kli that was caught there before Shabbos. It would only be true of that which was caught there after Shabbos started. So that's why we say im nosun mibod yom mutter, to make it like a separate statement. Amar of chista af bicham rei nosun kli tachas tarnagodos l'kabel beit sasa aval kof al kli shalot yishaver. Even though you're not allowed to take a kli and put it underneath a chicken, a hen that to catch the eggs, but you're allowed to, if an egg came out, you're allowed to put the kli over the egg to protect the egg, make sure it doesn't break. Amar Rabba, my time with Rav Chista. Why does Rav Chista hold you allowed to do that? Kasavar tarnagolas asuya lahatul beitzasa ba'ashba ve'in asuya lahatul beitzasa b'makom madron. Normally a tarnagolas is matil tzbeitza into an ashba where it could be broken by people stepping on it. It's not normal for it to be matil tzbeitza on a slanty area where it's going to fall down. Vatzala mitzuya hitiru vatzala she'ina mitzuya lo hitiru. The only reason you would need to put a kli under it is to catch it from slipping, but that's not normal that would ever be necessary. What's more normal is that it needs to be protected from people stepping on it or from something hitting it afterwards. So a hatsala mitsuya, you're allowed to move a kli to do. So to put the kli over the egg, that's permissible. That's called hatsala mitsuya. The Gemara is going to have five challenges to that. We'll start with that tomorrow.